was being recorded.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Data and Metrics for Policymaking Working Group on the 8th of April, 2014. On the call today, we have Nanad Orlik, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Adumu Aishiku, Sebastian Bachelot, Tony Ornato, Marinel Roska, Jeremy Beal, Jonathan Zuck, Graham Bunton, and Soniki Tu Ikepi. We have apologies from Magali Palazzo, Rudy Van Snick, and Jay Daly. From staff, we have Barry Cobb, Amy Bivens, and myself, Terry Agnew. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Jonathan Zuck.
Well, welcome. Can everyone hear me all right?
Yes, yes, I can hear you.
Perfect.
Loud and clear.
Excellent. Okay, so I guess the first thing we should do is a roll call of everybody that's on. The system seems to handle most of that nowadays. Should we just ask for people that are on but are not listed in the Adobe Connect?
Jonathan, Terry just did that.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was dialing back in. All right, excellent. So I guess our first order of business is to deal with the departure of Mikey. So does anybody want to sort of begin the queue of how you want to proceed, or anyone want to volunteer to be the new working group chair or nominate someone?
And Jonathan, this is Barry, just to provide some background. So in previous calls, we did agree to have Mikey as a chair, and we also had three co-chairs assigned to the working group. As members may have saw on the list last night, Mikey did step down from ICANN. Thus, we need to find a new chair. And as well today, unfortunately, given the apologies, Rudy and Olivier from MPOC were not able to join the call. So right now, Jonathan Zuck is standing as the chair for today's call. And as he stated, we do need to search for a new chair. Given the lightness of our overall attendance and also given the number of persons that signed up for the working group from our session in Singapore, we'll have a bigger group to choose from, but it should be noted that we'll probably have to take a formal call for a chair out to the list just so that the whole working group is informed. Back over to you, Jonathan. Thank you.
Okay, so I guess procedurally, what we've just decided to do is put out a formal call to the list for people that are interested in being the work group chair. Is that right, Barry?
That is correct. Just given the number of members that we have on the group and not everybody being available here today, but I do see Cheryl's hand raised as well.
Yes, Cheryl, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan, Cheryl, for the transcript record. I agree totally we need to go out to the list. What I, however, am a little concerned about is that chairing a group, particularly one as diverse as this group is not something for a newbie. I think I'd encourage newbies and people with their learner and provisional license plates on to step up and lead working teams or subgroups. I certainly encourage them to be assistants in leadership roles, such as in the vice chair positions. But if we are making a call, and I agree we do need to make a call to the list, I think the term experienced needs to come in, because this will live or die by the chair's capabilities. To that end, I have absolute comfort and faith in Jonathan taking this as an interim role. He's very good at herding cats, and that's what we need. So, yes, make a call by all means, but please use the term experienced. I just really think that this particular game is too darn important to float around and just be a learning experience. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else want to speak to this topic? Oh, Yanvi, go ahead. Jean-Vier? You have your hand up.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello? Yeah, my question is, has any person shown interest?
Oh, can you say that again? I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Has anybody shown interest of becoming the chairman, the working group chairman?
Well, this is very sudden, Jean-Vier, the announcement by Mikey. And so yeah. I think that we haven't even really opened the conversation until just this minute for people to express their interest.
Yes, I think it's okay with me now. Yes, my mic was muted. I'm sorry. I think someone is hearing me now.
Yes.
Yes.
Is it okay? The line is okay with me now?
Yes.
Yes,
it's
okay. Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm sad. I start by greeting everyone. I'm happy to join you at this meeting. I just type what I suggest, that since we have three co-chairs, I suggest that the first on the list can move to the chair position. What do you think about that? This is what I suggest, that the first one on the list, because we have three people as a co-chair, if the first one can move to the chair position, and now it remains two people at co-chair. What you think about this suggestion? Thank you.
Thanks, Jean-Yue. Cheryl.
Thanks. Wasn't Songfil on the list first?
Who? I'm sorry? Oh, I thought you had raised your hand first. He's above you in the list.
Okay. I'm happy to continue. I just note he does support Jean-Vier's comment in the chat. Jean-Vier, I hear, and Cheryl for the record, I hear and understand and indeed agree with what you say, but as Barry pointed out, our work group has expanded considerably with new people since the meeting in Singapore. And it is important that with Mikey stepping down, that there is opportunity for other people to step up as well. Now, that said, of course, what you've got in Jonathan is exactly what you've proposed. The only one of the vice chairs who's present today is stepping in and acting in the capacity of chair. In other words, it's exactly what should happen with vice chairs. It may come to pass, of course, that Jonathan or one of the vice chairs is indeed confirmed as chair. But I think the call does need to go out. It does, of course, mean that if one of the three vice chairs moves up to chair, that would be leaving us two vice chairs, and that's excellent. However, the other alternative, which the group may decide to do, is to rotate through the three vice chairs. And again, I'm perfectly happy with that, if indeed that is the will of the group. But I keep coming back to, we need people with experience. And if the three vice chairs do choose to rotate, then I would suggest they need to have excellent leadership meetings and regular leadership meetings so that they were all well in concert to make sure that the management of the meetings and the amount of work that goes on between meetings is properly managed. I certainly think that the vice chair stepping up as we've got now is the right thing to do, and I don't mind how long this stays. You know, Jonathan can sit here in this capacity now for as long as it takes to have the committee as a whole sort this out. But I keep coming back to whoever we have has to be A, experienced, and B, might I suggest, actually present at enough meetings. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. Sunigitu?
Yeah, really, I think I support Geneva's comment. Although Rudy is not around, I could also suggest Jonathan chair at this moment. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I guess, as Cheryl said, I'm the acting chair, I guess, at least for the duration of this call, and I, you know, one of the three of us will continue to play that role until we select a new workgroup chair. I'm happy to have my name in the hopper, but I think it does make sense with the greatly expanded membership, as Barry mentioned, to find out what interest there is and make sure that everybody has a chance to put their name in the hat. I agree with Cheryl that this is a complicated charter in many respects, and so it's probably not a role for a newbie. There's a lot of competing interests and a lot of complexity to the things that we'll be trying to sort out and accomplish. So I think the next step will be to put out a call to the broader membership list. Barry has said that he'll take the action item of sending that list out to a call for volunteers, and then we'll pick this conversation back up, I guess, on the list. And unless there's anybody else that wants to speak to this issue, I mean, I know we'll all miss Mikey. I don't know. I hope his absence isn't permanent, but he obviously needed a break. And he's been at it for quite a while and in a lot of work groups at once and was spread pretty thin. And you know, we certainly wish him well in his garden. Anyone else that wants to speak to the issue of a new chair? I think one of the interesting aspects of this working group is that it's going to end up having a lot of subcommittees or sub-working groups or however we want to phrase it, because there's a lot of work and research to be done, you know, in the context of this group. So the role of the work group chair is going to be varied, and I think we're going to have a lot of sort of subgroup chairs as we try to get some of the research done associated with our work plan. So I think that'll be interesting. Okay, so we're boring people now, I guess, with this topic. So the next thing on the agenda is the Singapore recap, and I think we had a very early morning meeting in Singapore, and expected that no one would show up, in fact, and that we would just be talking to ourselves at the you know, at the meeting in Singapore. And yet it was actually a fairly well attended meeting, including a lot of new people to the group, some of whom Mikey had kind of recruited in the hallway, that included someone with a specialization in data mining and business intelligence from Tucows, and some others that who had specific experience that I thought you know, that that had some very interesting experience associated with it. I think one of the biggest challenges of this group is going to be keeping to its scope. One of the big conversations that took place during the Singapore meeting had to do with the broader issue of open data and, you know, ICANN releasing broader data sets, et cetera. And there was a lot of sort of good suggestions and good conversations about that. I think that Barry in particular did a good job to make sure that we tried to stay within the scope of what we're trying to do despite all those discussions. So what Barry's just put up is the slides that we presented, at the Singapore meeting, as we talked a little bit about, you know, our mission and scope. And so some of the questions that got raised are here on the slides, and I think you all saw these on the list prior to the Singapore meeting. I think, again, we want to just sort of refine our scope and go over that and then begin to talk about what a plan of work would be to begin to tackle the various outcomes that we've set for ourselves. So I don't know the best way to proceed. We've seen some of this in the offline list, but looking at this first slide and the questions that are highlighted there, are there things that people have questions about or don't understand what we're trying to get to, and then perhaps Barry or I can answer those questions so that we can narrow down our scope and begin to talk about how we're going to tackle this. Barry, yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. This is Barry. I think one of the biggest things that you definitely touched upon is maintaining our scope, and that's certainly been a conversation not only that we more or less ended with in Singapore, but as well as on the list, given some other topics relative to the, I think, the WHOIS studies and some of that aspect. So most importantly, is scope will be the biggest factor, and I'll reiterate that, you know, our scope is going to be within the GNSO and the working groups that function within the GNSO. That said, I think one of the most important bullets on these couple of slides, and for those on the phone, you do have the ability to control the presentation that you see in the Adobe Connect room yourself. But one of the biggest tasks that we're going to be having in the near term is something that Jonathan touched on, and that's the research component of this. And I think what will be very important for this working group to accomplish is that we review past use cases of working groups that were PDPs and non-PDPs that were performed in the past, and try to garner lessons learned about you know, how those groups functioned and what their outcomes or outputs were, and how they were or were not measured, which is most importantly, I think, the principle around what we're trying to accomplish here. That said, I'm not saying that all of us will become experts across PEDNR and IRTP and other policy topics that the GNSO has addressed, but the idea is to really formulate a structure that we can help try to find a common theme across all of those by asking the right questions up front. You know, what data did the working group need before addressing the policy issue? What data was needed post any policies or consensus policies that may have been developed to help measure the success or failure of that as well? So that said, I do ask that the working group members take a really close look at the items that we have listed in the charter, and without a doubt, this research will be our next step, as well as once we've garnered some initial information in our due diligence, then we'll also be looking to put together a call out to the SOs and ACs for some of their input as to what steps we should be taking, and other principles or data metrics and gathering that other SO and AC groups may be doing. Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Barry. And I think one of the clarifications that we really tried to put a point on in the meeting in Singapore was that the focus on the fact that we're a non-policy working group. And I think that is going to be confusing for us, because we're all used to being on policy working groups, but I think it's also what creates the biggest opportunity for the working group. So what we're going to be doing is not looking at any specific metrics, but instead looking at the past in terms of where there were opportunities to make better use of data, both in constructing policy to begin with and potentially reviewing that policy after the fact. A concept which in and of itself is somewhat foreign, I think, and then perhaps building a kind of toolkit in terms of worksheets for the charter drafting process, worksheets for the policy development process, potential templates, et cetera, and policies around data collection and analysis and protection. Because one of the issues is that some of the data that we might want to collect will have competitive, purposes generally, et cetera. And so trying to come out with some of those use cases, basically, about how and when we might need data and what kind of protections we need to put in place, how we need to ask for it, and what assurances we need to make when we do. I think answering some of those questions so that it becomes a kind of a checklist and process model that work groups can choose to use going forward, I think is the exciting work of this working group. I mean, it may eventually lead to a strengthening of some of the language around using data in the context of work groups, but that's not our charter either. Ours is really to figure out the best way to streamline the use of data inside working groups, suggest some of the use cases in which it might be needed, and make sure that we've thought through the best ways to make use of it and to protect its integrity while we're using it. Does that make sense to everyone? Cheryl, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Cheryl, for the record, it makes absolute sense. And I just, not only absolutely supportive of that, I just wondered if it might be useful if I spent just a moment to give some examples of the variability that has come from the work groups that I've previously been involved with in GNSO. I just want to go back to PEDNA as an example of where valuable data was collected, but it was collected by accident, not by design. And in my perfect world, in this future model that we will be proposing, it is the type of situation where one could start at the chartering or even the analysis of the issues, very much before even the formation of the group, where there will be value of collection of data. And this can be anecdotal or what I like to think of as the more useful parametric data. In PEDNA, for example, it was one of the first times I'd seen extensive questionnaires and collection of information that was done within a work group. Now, that's all very useful, but it would have been perhaps a good decision, or at least a good thing to have explored a decision about how much data might have been valuable to have had coming into the work group, in other words, collected from external sources or sources within ICANN, and in case of compliance, we have a fairly decent resource that we can pull on. But what happened at PEDNA is the members of the work group were contributors to data collected, and that in itself brings in both problem and opportunity. So again, there's another decision on what degree of weighting, how we identify the difference between material data that's been brought together to a work group by the work group, and that's which sourced from outside. So there's all sorts of, I'd like to think of it as decision points through a data usefulness and identification flowchart that we might perhaps come up with at the end of all of this. But anyway, that's my utopia and one tiny bit of experience that I just wanted to share. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. Is there anyone else that wants to be in the queue? So, I mean, I think, jumping off from that that example, Cheryl, I think that, that's exactly what we want to do. I mean, it's a I think it would be nirvana if, data got used and the policies were reviewed on the basis of changes to that data later on. And, I mean, that would be an exciting development, I think, in many respects. I think that, as Barry mentioned, the first big chunk of work is actually going to be the review of a bunch of policy development processes that have taken place in the past, perhaps both within the GNSO and outside of the GNSO, even though our particular mission, our remit, is to focus on the GNSO, we should look for good case studies in which data was either helpful or would have been helpful, and to try and construct some of the flowcharts, as you say them, or checklists, as I'm calling them, et cetera. I wonder if perhaps the first task that we might try to engage in as a group is to come up with like a list of questions that we would ask of each of these case studies. In other words, try to come up with a series of, say, 10 to 15 questions that we try to answer about each of these case studies that we come up with, so that we end up with a somewhat structured result set from our research. You know, questions like, is the problem being addressed one in which data plays a role, for example? Was data collected or not collected? If it was collected, you know, how was it used? If it was not, why? What were the concerns that prevented the collection of the data? And so on, questions like that, so that we end up then with a lot of, I think, as I said, a series of case studies, if you will, a series of use cases that are examples of that we want to try to accommodate in our future recommendations. Does that make sense as a kind of a start to a work plan before we launch into the case studies themselves? Jeremy, go ahead. Jeremy, you might be on the mute. I can't hear you. Can you look in the upper left-hand corner to see if you've muted your microphone?
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
Yes.
We can hear you now. Go ahead. Is that you saying yes? All right. Okay. Jeremy, are you able to call in via the phone rather than using the microphone of your computer?
You could get a dial-out, Jeremy, if you want to, Cheryl here, if you want to put a phone number in. The staff can organize a dial-out if that's easier.
Terry, do you want to take this offline with Jeremy and try to get him into the audio universe?
Yes, I'm happy to do that.
Thank you, Terry. Jeremy, we'll come back to you once we can hear you. Does anyone else want to speak to the idea of some questions? Cheryl, go ahead.
Hi. Thanks, Cheryl, again, for the record. And I have my grandchildren on Wednesday morning, so all background noise of singing, believe me, is not from me.
Good clarification. Thank you.
Well, you know, I don't want to be accused of being a happy person. Next thing, it'll become kind and compassionate, and that would ruin my reputation. Now, in all seriousness, Jonathan, I like that concept. What I'm wondering, however, this is one of these moments, and there are going to be many of them where we're going to miss Mikey. I immediately saw one of his charts coming up in my mind while you were talking. So I had this mind map thing happening while you were talking,
sure.
Jonathan, and I'm wondering whether a couple of us, and I am willing to help on this, could put up not a definitive list, but a starting point of some of these questions. And perhaps if we put that together and distribute it in enough time for people to consider before our next call, It would at least give us something to share and then to embellish and build on. And I think we probably need two. There's going to be many times we're going to need more than one way of doing things. I think that the checklist process, where the exemplar questions you've suggested, Jonathan, is one way of doing it, and it's a way we need to pursue. But I also think the sort of higher level critical points and decision points and flowchart thing also needs to be done. So, Jonathan, I'm sure you've got a couple of questions in mind. I know I certainly do, and I'd be very surprised if Barry and others don't. I know Barry won't be surprised. You know, I'm going to start talking at one point about the value of parametric versus non-parametrics and things like that. So before we get into those weeds, let's do some sort of high-level stuff. And then you might find that your work teams kind of naturally flow from some of that, because let's be honest, if one hasn't delved into the thrill-packed and exciting world of non-parametric analysis, you're going to glaze over
right.
at that point. So we don't want to have people doing analysis and working on things that they're not comfortable with. So maybe some high-level stuff, and it might be maybe a group of three or four people, maybe five, could put some of those questions and a bit of flowing together. Anyway, that's my proposal, and it's supportive of yours, but an embellishment. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you for your embellishment. I can always count on you to embellish, so I appreciate it. And I think that's a good suggestion. I wonder if we should be doing any kind of a brainstorming at this point. I mean, I'm happy to take over the mind mapping activities in terms of the product that we circulate or the way that we discuss this. I'll come prepared to go over these questions on the next meeting in a mind map format, because there are some conditionals and things like that probably in the questions that we'll address. Jeremy, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay, good. Sorry about that. I don't know what was going on, but I'm doing it from a mobile, and it's the first time I've tried doing Adobe Connect from mobile, so that's something to do with it. I was just saying, I'm a newbie here in terms of the working group or in terms of GNSO working groups, and I think the case study approach is really, really useful, but I think we almost need some questions about the case studies beforehand, and I don't mean anything complicated, but what I'm thinking of is we need to explicitly know what we're talking about in terms of it being a multi-stakeholder process we're looking at, so that in that sense it's a bit like a collaborative R&D program in terms of data sharing. You've got people with proprietary data and they share it, and this goes throughout the whole process, I presume. But then there might be instances where data that is not of that kind wants to also be brought in. So that would fit with the mapping exercise. I think there are sort of levels in that sense of data and of the sharing that would be appropriate for it. So it might be useful to think about that when looking at the case studies, because the case studies might only be of one type of sharing that has occurred and something might have been missing. And unless we have that explicit perspective, we will miss what wasn't there because no one thought about having it there, if you get what I mean.
I do, Jeremy, and that's why I'm actually raising this issue of coming up with, one way to think of it is that we're gonna compile a list of past policy development processes to evaluate as case studies, and divide up into research teams. And what we need to do is come up with an RFP for those research teams. In other words, we're asking them to come back with an analysis of that particular process. And I think that it behooves us to come up with a structure for that analysis so that the work that we get back is comprehensive, as you say, and somewhat structured and consistent across those case studies to the degree possible. And so that's why I think that the next process is probably coming up with those very questions that we want to make sure that people are looking at, in the context of each of those case studies. And the questions will also help us to determine, I think, as you're saying, Jeremy, that we have identified sufficient case studies to cover the questions being asked, because there will certainly be some questions that are applicable to some case studies and not to others. So I think coming up with the questions to which we want answers is the next step. That seems to be where we're headed, and Cheryl would like to embellish. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. Cheryl, for the record, Cheryl always likes to embellish. You know that. But in fact, what I'm going to do is not so much embellish as take a parallel theme this time. Just looking at the talent we've got in this room today, in the Adobe Connect room today, and it's a mix. I see, old war horses from many a PDP working group, and I see people who've been involved in different styles of either multi-stakeholder or less than multi-stakeholder creations of work products. To that end, and being aware that we do have even more people coming on board, and recognising that it is a rare time when in a teleconference you're going to have everyone together, sadly, but you are always going to get some people who just aren't able to join a call. I wondered if we could also put together a little briefing note, I guess would be the best way of describing it, of what has typically happened in the birth and creation of even a hypothetical, but we could use actual examples of policy development process. Just so everyone knows what tends to happen to date. How does a problem even get identified? How does a potential problem get ratified and agreed that it's a problem? How does a problem, if it is a problem statement that is agreed to, then become a work piece that a work group is then chartered to deal with? Do you know what I mean? Just the care and feeding of how these things normally happen without getting into the details yet, just so we know to date what has happened in an anecdotal way, and there may be variability. I believe there is variability in how those things happen, and we could identify that. And I'm thinking, with Mary and yourself, Jonathan, and again, a few others, yes, I guess I could kind of put my hand up sometimes, we could put that sort of note out, and that would mean everyone understands how things have tended to go. Not saying that's a good, bad, or indifferent model, but just an identification of this is what tends to happen. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. I mean, we have to decide whether we want someone idealistic or someone cynical to draw that up.
Or both.
That's the question. Okay. Anyone else want to comment on that? Does that seem, would the people that are on the group feel like they would benefit from, a kind of a primer on the PDP process as it currently stands, above and beyond what's available on the newbie portion of the ICANN website, et cetera? So Jeremy's a yes. I guess check your green check mark if you think that the exercise Cheryl is describing would be a beneficial one, of a kind of a existing flowchart as a place to work from, where we might be changing some of the or proposing changes to some of those pathways as they currently exist, at least in the abstract and anecdotally.
Jonathan, Cheryl here again. There's a wealth of resource material that can be pulled on for that. I don't think it's going to be a complicated task, but I'm particularly looking maybe at Mary accessing some of the things that that Marika and others have used in the past, and then we sort of put it together in a slightly new form. That's all. Thanks.
Mary, how do you feel about being a part of that process? She has a muted microphone, but I assume she's on the phone. Are you on the phone, Mary?
She says she's happy to help, so, you know.
Oh, there she, I see it down there in the top. I was waiting for the microphone to come unmuted or something. So, I mean, I think that's a good idea in that I think what we are looking at is sort of recommendations around PDP process. And so, if Cheryl, if you and Mary want to kind of take charge of coming up with that, and I'm happy to help if you want help on the graphical side of that or anything like that, let me know. But if you guys are willing to take charge of coming up with at least a straw man for that, and then we'll put it up for discussion to make sure that we've sort of caught the angles that are necessary to catch, then why don't we go ahead and do that? Because it will become a discussion piece for what the where the entry points are in the process for what it is that we're recommending, potentially. Okay? Yeah, we've kind of moved past item three, Olivia. It's, we're sort of on the charter and the work plan that have sort of munged together. Okay? Anybody else have any comments on things that we ought to do before we dive into the case studies? How should we go about coming up with the case studies? I know Barry has a start on that. Is that something we should just start a list of so staff can begin to collect those together and then add to a list that Barry's gotten started? Barry, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Barry. Yes, I've basically started compiling a list of all of the past efforts that have occurred within the GNSO. Within the chat, I had included a link to basically our archive page that contains most of the previous efforts. We're still in the middle of documenting some of the things that occurred 2004 and previous. I've taken the action to create a list to send out to our mailing list of all of the possible ones, and I'm sure I won't be able to capture everything, but it'll at least be a brain sparker that other members can contribute to so that we get an overall list. And then we can at least, you know, we'll start with everything thrown against the wall, and then we'll pick which ones that seem the most relevant to our exercise and go from there. But the primary component is the archival of past efforts. I think there was some discussion about some of the who is related studies, and we can include that as well. And then I also think that it was sent out to the list shortly after our session in Singapore. The DSSA group had put together some components about their data collection and the realm of that, so I'll be sure to include that, and then we can improve upon it on the list and talk about it more with at our next call.
All right, that makes sense. Jeremy?
Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, good. Would it also be useful to develop other case studies in parallel that aren't just ones about what I, you know, the GNSO PDP process? What I'm thinking of is following on from what I said previously, which is that in some cases what we're trying to do, or what is being attempted within the GNSO, is a bit like collaborative R&D. To a certain extent, it's like pre-competitive R&D, and in other respects, it's probably something else. But what I'm thinking of is that would be maybe something to look at after the case studies of what has already occurred within the GNSO, but might throw some light again onto ways that the GNSO could have resolved issues in a different way through taking external ones about those things.
Jeremy, that sounds good to me. I think what we may find by examining a lot of the GNSO case studies is all the things that we could have done and didn't. And in many instances, there'll be some cases where that's not the case. But perhaps looking at some successful data-driven you know, policy or as you're saying, maybe even product development processes. I don't want to get too far down a rabbit hole with that, obviously, but coming up with some examples of success will be useful to suggest how analogous processes might be used inside the GNSO. Am I capturing your recommendation?
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent. And I also don't want to lose track of Cheryl's comment that I think this extends to charter drafting as well. I mean, so I think that's definitely a important part of our process analysis and what the entry points into that are as well, because I think data is useful in the context of chartering individual working groups as well. Other questions, things that people want to bring up in terms of our work plan? I mean, my feeling is that what we will do is come up with a kind of RFPs for these research efforts, these questionnaires that each of the research teams will split into teams to look at. We'll go through these case studies and probably as a group decide which ones seem to be worth using as, you know, go through these past efforts and look at which ones were most viable as case studies, and then divide up and analyze them based on the questionnaires that we come up with. And I think once we have our results is probably the time to have a more thorough discussion about what our work product will be. I'm not entirely sure it's something that we need to predetermine now as part of our work plan. I think we have a general idea of what that work product might be in terms of process recommendations, policies, you know, commitments around data, et cetera. But my guess is that we'll have a better understanding of what our actual work product should be once we've gotten through the case study approach. Does anybody disagree with that and think that we should delve into more detail of what our work product will be prior to the case studies? I guess that's my question to the group. Okay, excellent. I think that'll be the general flow of what we do. So all I'm going to ask now is who feels like they have some good questions in mind that should be part of our first shot at this questionnaire. I think so far it's me and Barry. But if whoever's interested in being a part of that subgroup, as opposed to the current PDP process subgroup, this is the questionnaire subgroup, I guess please click your green check mark, and that'll be we'll get going on this outside of this call to come up with a decent list of questions as a starting point for the conversation on the next call. So check your button here, I guess, if you're interested, and then Barry will probably also put out a call to the group as that list of questions begins to develop. So I've got Barry. Graham, did you mean to say that you were volunteering? And so Nikita, you're volunteering for the questionnaire subgroup. All right. Anyone else? Barry, I'm assuming you're sort of capturing this. It might be you, me, and Sonigitu. All right.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. So I think that's how we'll proceed. We have these two sub. And Tony, are you volunteering? All right. He's going to type. Yes. Okay. Good. Excellent. We have our subgroup, and I guess the last question on our agenda has to do with meeting times and how we want to schedule them going forward. We want to do alternating times so that people have an opportunity to be more awake than they are normally on the call. And I'm going to hand that over to Barry to describe the problem for us.
Great. Thank you, Jonathan. Just real quick before I step into the meeting schedule, What I have posted here in the AC room is kind of our first draft of our overall work plan. You really can't see much of it here, but I'll make sure to send this version out to the list. What it does contain in here is basically a listing of what we've accomplished up to this point, which is really mostly about the charter drafting exercise that occurred before this working group started. But what is important in here, it does contain our overall milestones that we need to accomplish, such as drafting and eventually getting to a draft initial report that contains some recommendations, posting a public comment against that initial report, and then, of course, submitting a final report up to the GNSO Council. As we start to mature some of our activities leading up to the initial report, I'll be loading these into our project plan tool so that we have a better idea of duration of some of these tasks, as well as some hopefully, target dates in which we hope to accomplish this. Looking at our schedule now, I think it's fair to say that, it would probably be into the Los Angeles meeting before we may even come close to having any kind of draft initial report to put out for public comment. So that's something we'll be cognitive of. So with that said, the meeting schedule, and this is an action that I will also put out to the list. Given the diversity of our working group members around the globe, I think typically what we've done in the past to balance or share the burden across everyone is to create an alternating schedule. Typically, the working group does meet on a weekly basis, although I will leave that up to the working group to ultimately decide. Other working groups have met every other week or preferably would be a weekly basis just so that we can get our task accomplished. So what I'll be doing is sending out to the list just to confirm alternate meeting schedule times. What you see in the agenda now is just kind of what we've used in the past, 14 UTC and 20 UTC, and every other week those times will schedule or they'll alternate. It does make a little bit more complex in terms of scheduling, but again, it's pretty much necessary given the global diversity of our group. So when you see those out on the list, please complete the doodle poll. And at least for now, for next week, we'll go ahead and schedule the next call to be at 20 UTC, and hopefully we'll complete the doodle poll and we'll determine the other alternate time. And at least for now, I'm working off the basis that we're going to meet weekly. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry. Is there anybody that wants to speak up on the meeting schedule, or was that all clear? Does anybody have any objections? Suggestions on weekly versus biweekly?
Sure, I'll hear you. Sorry, I didn't put my hand up. I think biweekly will work at the beginning because it'll allow you to have the work teams, which will be coming out, and I think you'll get more of them as our work progresses. It'll allow them to meet in the off week. And then obviously as we go towards meeting nodes of London and definitely Los Angeles, it will probably go to weekly, but by then your work teams should have already brought back their individual activities to the committee of a whole. I just think you need to make sure you've got built into the process early on the ability for your work teams to meet regularly as well.
Thanks, Cheryl. I'm inclined to agree with what you just said. I'm wondering if what that means is that we meet more frequently, and then once we've divided into case study teams, sort of define what that frequency is and what even the purpose of the meetings are at that point until that analysis is done by each of those groups. There'll probably be sort of some staggered reporting back from those research efforts that'll take place. But it might make sense to meet more frequently until we launch into that process that will, by definition, be significantly more sluggish when we're divided into teams and getting research done. Anybody else want to speak to that? Jean-Pierre.
Yes, thank you. I just want to let you know that with the new this program, GNSO Working Group Newcomer Open House Session, that will be event. I think we have to take it in account also. So I suggest that maybe at the beginning we can have bi-weekly meeting. Bi-weekly meeting means one meeting every 2 weeks, and then adding to this program of for newcomer, I think would be better for me. Thank you.
Okay. Perhaps we should take a vote. How many of the participants that are on the call would prefer bi-weekly meetings, a meeting every other week instead of every week? Please do your green check mark to show your preference for a bi-weekly meeting.
Jonathan, I think, again, we don't have our full bench of participants on this call. So I'll make it a third doodle poll, which will basically be weekly, bi-weekly, so that we get a good feel for that. And then the follow-up polls will be the alternating times.
Does Doodle let you ask a binary question like that, or do you have to use another polling device? I didn't know Doodle let you ask either or questions, but
yes, it does binary.
All right, that's good. Okay. All right, well, thanks everyone. I think that we have a couple of subgroups going forward to our next meeting. Barry will be putting out several messages to the group, so please watch your inbox on a number of different issues, including the position of chair, the case studies, and then we'll also be working on the questions and the existing flow chart, if you will, of the PDP process inside the GNSO. Does anybody have any other business that they'd like to raise before we close the call?
Cheryl, for the record, I just wondered, Barry, when you're doing the doodle poll, you will be giving the alternating UTC cycle as well, won't you?
Yes, indeed.
Thank you. I mean, I have a vested interest in that, living at the other hemisphere, so thank you.
Right.
I got your back.
Nanad, do you want to speak?
Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. This is Dennis. I've been listening to most of the sessions since I'm a newcomer, and I'm just like to say, I thought how it's true that we have to have a constant schedule, like every 2 weeks or every week. I think it's for the best to take it bi-weekly for now, and if anything comes up in the meantime, the chair can schedule a meeting in 3 days in the middle of time. If subgroup comes with something useful to be discussed or something else. For me, I think their live working schedule is something most useful, but sorry, I'm a newcomer. I don't know if there any rule that abides that we have to make certain plans.
Okay, thank you. Janvier, is your hand still up or do you have a new comment? Okay, and Olivier? Are you on mute?
I'm okay.
Okay, do you wish to speak?
Right, I'm okay.
Okay, well, I'm trying to wait to see if there's more comments people want to make. Otherwise, we'll wrap up the meeting. Okay. Support the biweekly. All right, and Jean-Vier made his comment. All right. Excellent. So Barry will put that poll out as well, and we'll get the views of the full group on that. Everybody's got their homework assignments. Even if you're new, if you'd like to participate in one of those two processes, then contact me about the questionnaire or contact Mary or Cheryl about the flowchart of the existing PDP process if you want to be in on those conversations. Meanwhile, I will call the meeting to a close. Thanks, everyone, for participating.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And if we could stop the recordings at this time.
Thanks, Jonathan.
The recordings have ended.